Gunsmoke, The Last Apache.
This program has been described by AudioVision. For information on over 400 video and audio titles, call toll-free 1-866-966-7667 or visit our accessible website, www.audiovisioncanada.com. The contents of this program are protected by copyright and may not be duplicated or used for any commercial purpose without the express written consent of the copyright holders.
James Arness in Gunsmoke. Rugged mountains rise steeply against a clear blue sky. The rocky cliffs are reflected in a glassy lake at their base. A mounted cowboy leads a pack horse along the water's edge. The Last Apache, with narrative description by AudioVision. Starring Richard Kiley as Chalk Brighton. Amy Stock Poynton as Beth Yardner. Jeffrey Lewis as Bodine. Joe Lara as Wolf. Joaquin Martinez as Geronimo. Sam Vlahos as Tomas. Special guest appearance, Hugh O'Brien as General Miles. And Michael Learned as Mike Yardner. Music by Bruce Roland. Editor, Ray Daniels. Production designer, Joseph R. Jennings. The cowboy rides with his pack horse into a small western outpost. Produced by Stan Huff. The cowboy rides up to a small building and ties his horse to the rail outside. He goes into the building, a dark general store jammed with goods.
And you old horse thief, where are you?
He throws a small bundle on the counter as a man comes out of a back room.
Morning, friend.
Where's Dan?
Dan?
Yeah, Dan Riley, the fellow that owns this place.
Oh, him. He lit out for parts unknown.
Lit out?
Yeah, guess what, the game disappearing like it is, there just wasn't enough in it to keep him interested. Something we can do for you?
Yeah. Got a little dust I'd like to get weighed. Maybe you can check the mail, see if there's a letter for me. Name's Dillon. Matt Dillon.
Sure thing.
The shopkeeper goes through the mail while a man with a rifle sneaks toward the door of the store.
Well, what you know about that? I got one right here. Matt Dillon, Esquire. Sure does look like it's been a time getting here, don't it?
Dillon takes the letter and examines it. The shopkeeper pulls out a six-shooter.
Now, let's have a look in that poke, friend. We just call it postage due on that.
Dillon realizes there's a second man by the door. He picks up the bundle from the counter and pours a little gold dust into his palm. He throws the dust in the nearest man's face, then turns and shoots the rifleman as he bursts through the door. The man behind the counter grabs an axe, but Dillon shoots him before he can swing it. A shadow moves in the back room.
All right, come on out of there.
Oh, please. I'm not armed.
A young man slinks out, hands raised.
What are you doing here, mister?
Don't shoot. Don't shoot. They just kept me alive to cook and fetch.
What's your name?
Fraley. Jim Fraley. I came here with a surveyor 3 weeks ago, and they just killed him. They must have killed Mr. Riley, too.
I'm not surprised.
Dillon looks at one of the bodies on the floor and holsters his gun. Jim lowers his hands.
Did you ever own a store, Fraley?
No, sir.
They own one now, 50%. The other 50% goes to Mrs. Dan Riley. You'll find her address back there in that ledger.
Yes, sir.
Just remember one thing. I'll be back this way. Those books better be in order. Dan Riley was a friend of mine.
Yes, sir. You bet.
Dillon takes his pouch of gold and leaves. On the store's veranda, he inspects his letter. The return address is Yardner Cattle Company, Arizona Territory. At the Yardner Ranch in Arizona, cowboys drive a herd of steers through the gates. They drive the steers past the house and into a corral. Two of the cowboys are women. A rattlesnake spooks one of the horses. The woman riding it is thrown to the ground. One of the cowboys jumps off his horse and helps the thrown woman to her feet.
Oh, hush up,
Matt. You
sound like an old woman.
Besides, it wasn't the horse's fault.
Mom, if you can't handle Spitfire, I can have Eduardo saddle up Granny for you.
Thank you, young lady. I can handle Spitfire just fine.
Didn't look like it from where I was sitting.
The woman takes a rifle from her daughter's saddle and aims it.
How am I going to teach you that appearances can be deceiving?
She walks over to the dead snake and holds it up.
Give it to Cook Swag. Now back to work, everybody. Fun's over.
Everyone returns to their jobs, but the woman takes a step and grimaces in pain. Tomas helps her sit. He lifts her ankle and feels it through her boot.
The leg will be fine in a little while, but what if this had been your neck?
Meaning?
Meaning there's no need for you to ride with the men. If anything should happen to you, who will take care of La Senorita Beth?
Why, you would, of course. What do you think I kept you around here for 20 years? Certainly not for your cooking. Beth loved you like a father.
She's a very headstrong young woman, much like her mother.
Tomas?
It's true. She has much to learn. And this fine place you've built for her, what is going to hold it together if you're not here?
For once, I'm way ahead of you, Tomas.
He helps her to stand.
I wrote a letter to a man I knew a long time ago. I asked him to come here. He once risked his life to help me save this ranch.
She leans on him to walk across the yard.
I've been with you for 20 years, and I don't see such a man.
Well, it was before your time.
Before 20 years?
Uh-huh.
And with one letter, you expect him to come? I don't know. When did you write this letter?
4 or 5 months ago.
4 or 5 months? And still he's not here. And still you expect him to come?
If he's alive, and if the letter reaches him, he'll come.
Out on the trail at night, Dylan sits beside a campfire drinking coffee. He pulls the letter out of his jacket pocket and opens it.
I don't know if this letter will ever reach you, man. It's a voice from the past. From someone whose life you once saved at great risk to your own, and for whom you had, I think, some small measure of affection.
Dylan remembers sitting in her living room.
Where'll you go?
Oh, I don't know, someplace. Find work, I guess.
Must be lonesome. Not knowing who you are, where you come from, why you were shot at. Guess you think on it.
Yeah. Thinking on it, all right.
You're almost well now.
Yeah.
That means you either gotta go or make up your mind about staying.
You mean I got a choice?
Guess so. You don't know who you are, where you're from, and maybe you never will. I don't think you're married, so that solves one problem, but you sure are something. Got a way about you, tells me whatever you did with authority. I like that. I like you, too. I tried not to, but...
Is that a proposal?
You can go straight to hell.
Mike!
She jumps up, but he stops her from leaving.
I'd like to stay.
She slides her arm around his neck, and they kiss.
Man. Many things have happened since you left, one of which may be of real concern to you. Return if you can, with warm remembrances of days gone by. Mike Yarmouth.
Dylan sits lost in thought as the campfire crackles. In the misty daylight, Dylan rides beside a quiet river, leading his pack horse. Hidden behind a tree on the riverbank, an Indian boy lifts a fist-sized rock and throws it at Dylan, hitting him in the back.
Ah! What the?
Dylan leaves the pack horse and gives chase. He rides up beside the boy and grabs him by the scruff of the neck.
Danivka, Snika! Danivka!
What's your name, sir?
Name's Nachite. He was after your horse and your Winchester.
Another rider has a rifle trained on
him.
Look
at that. Who are you?
Name's Brighton. Chalk Brighton. Gold miner, trapper. As of the moment, chief scout in the employ of the United States Cavalry. I'll take that little cub from you now.
Point that rifle in a different direction, we'll talk about it.
Brighton dismounts and walks toward them. Dylan lets go of the boy.
What do you want him for?
I figured Geronimo sent him and his little brother to round up reinforcements. We got the little one already.
You mean Geronimo's on the loose again?
We figure him and his brother split off from him when he took off into Mexico. But Geronimo ain't the one that's causing the trouble.
Who is?
The war chief named Mandak. Folks around here call him Wolf. Been burning and looting up north. You headed that way?
Oh, no, I got business down south of here. My name's Dylan.
Not Matt Dylan. The marshal that put the lid on Dodge City?
A few years back.
Don't you know? Matt Dylan. Well, come on, we'll round up your pack horse and make us some coffee. There's fresh water over yonder. Come on.
Later, Nachite sits on a log and chews at the bonds that tie his hands.
Easy there, Hiawatha. Don't get any bright ideas.
Brighton walks over to where Dylan sits.
Let me ask you something, Brighton. You knew that young warrior there had me in his sights. Why'd you let him chunk the rock at me?
Well, the truth is, I didn't know you from Adam. I was kind of interested to see what sort of aim the boy had.
Any closer, he'd have taken my head off.
Well, look at it this way. That boy's sure-tailed kin to Geronimo himself. His grandson, if I got it right. If he'd put that rock where he'd wanted to, at least you'd have been murdered by quality. You never did say what you was doing down here in the territory.
Well, I don't know it's any of your business, but I'm looking for a lady named Yardner.
Yardner? What's your business with Mike Yardner?
Personal? Why, you know Mike Yardner?
So Mike Morton is an owner. Me and Mike Yardner's got us a sort of understanding. If I didn't have to get this one back to headquarters, I'd ride on down there with you. Just to make sure you don't get any fancy ideas. Her being a witty woman and all.
Well, I'm sure she'd appreciate your concern there, Brighton. She still live down by the river?
It ain't but half day's ride. Dylan, there ain't much chance that Wolf has worked his way this far south yet, but it don't hurt to be careful. Tell Mike to keep her eyes peeled.
Yeah, I'll tell her.
Dylan walks away, and Brighton drinks his coffee. Later, Dylan rides beside a river. When he hears gunfire and Indian war cries, he spurs his horse into a gallop. At the Yardner Ranch, Indians are setting fire to the house and stealing the horses. Tomas shoots at the Indians as he runs out of the burning house. Dylan races up to the ranch gate and pulls out his rifle. One of the Indians guns Tomas down, and Dylan shoots the Indian off his horse. Dillon shoots another Indian. As the rest ride away, he jumps off his horse and runs into the burning house. Dillon tears down some burning curtains and throws them into the yard. He douses the fire in a bedroom with a jug of water.
Mike!
In the living room, he sees a small fire burning in the middle of the woven rug. He smothers the fire and opens the trap door underneath. He dodges a shot, then grabs the gun barrel, pulling Mike out of her hideout.
Mike.
Mike looks around and sees the body of Tomas lying in the yard. She runs outside and turns over his lifeless body.
They headed south over the mesa.
South.
She stands up and runs for Dillon's horse.
Mike, hold on a minute here.
What do you think you're doing?
I said they went south. That means they headed for Mexico.
I don't understand.
The Walker Ranch is right in their path. Beth went down there this morning. She'll run straight into them on her way back.
Now, who's Beth?
She's my daughter. Let me go.
No, wait a minute. Where is this ranch?
It's 6 miles down the valley.
All right. They were running a bunch of horses. Maybe I can get there ahead of them.
Dillon mounts up, rifle in hand, and gallops away.
Matt!
Mike fights tears as she watches him go.
She's all I've got.
Smoke drifts across the yard as Mike walks back to the body of Tomas. Elsewhere, a rider is chased by a group of Indians through the scrubby trees and cactuses. The lone rider is Beth. She lashes her horse mercilessly in an attempt to stay ahead of her pursuers.
Yeah, yeah! Yeah! Yeah!
The Indians finally catch up to her. One grabs her horse's reins, pulling her to a stop, and she tries to beat him off with her riding crop.
No! Let me go!
As the group subdues her, a youthful warrior rides up on a white horse. He stares at her while she waits nervously. Walking his horse next to hers, the warrior reaches out and yanks off her cowboy hat. He reaches out in wonderment and touches her pale blonde hair.
No!
Good compas, Clo.
One of the Indians ties her hands in front of her as Matt Dillon rides to a stop in some nearby brush.
Geronimo, Bachita Ya.
Dillon watches as the warrior sends the other Indians off, leaving him alone with Beth. The warrior leads Beth off at a canter. Beth rides with her hands tied in front of her. The warrior leads her horse by the reins. She checks the trail behind them. As Dillon follows them, he startles a flock of birds. Angrily, the warrior claps a hand over Beth's mouth, then drags her horse down into a gully.
Help! Help me!
Grimly, Dillon follows. The warrior ties Beth's horse to a tree and checks the rope around her wrists. Taking his rifle, he leaves on foot. Beth immediately starts working on the rope around her hands, trying to loosen the knot with her teeth. The warrior races to the top of the gully. He waits. Dylan's horse walks from behind a tree, but the saddle is empty. The warrior turns, and Dylan jumps out of hiding. The warrior goes down, but jumps up with a knife in his hand. The two men fight on the edge of a dirt cliff, and Beth rides her horse into them. The blow knocks Dylan over the edge. The warrior grabs Beth and drags her off her horse and keeps her pinned. Below, Dylan stirs. The warrior leaves Beth to pick up his rifle, and she leaps on him before he can fire at the helpless Dylan. She fights valiantly, but he drags her back down into the gully where the horses wait. Down below, Dylan struggles slowly to his feet. At the Yardner Ranch, Mike hammers a wooden cross into the ground. A horse gallops up, and she runs to the barn. Dylan is tying his mount to the rail.
What happened?
I didn't get there in time, Mike. One of the Apaches rode off with her.
My God.
Look, she's not hurt, and she's still alive. This is what you got to remember.
What are we going to do?
They're going to be taking her back to their village. We're going to need the army. Now, I met a fella out here this morning, said he knew you, a scout.
Chalk Brighton. He's stationed at Madeira in the next valley. I'll get you something to eat.
Mike. That letter. Why did you send it to me?
It's Beth. I told you she was my daughter. But I wrote that letter on her 21st birthday. I thought it was time she knew who her real father was.
You think she's my daughter?
Yeah.
Why did you wait so long to tell me?
I don't know if I can make you understand, but I'll try. When I fell in love with you, your whole world was bounded by this valley and this house. Lost your memory. This was the only life you knew. But when your memory came back, the man I'd fallen in love with ceased to exist. In his place stood another man, Matt Dillon, with awesome responsibilities. In a world we both knew there was no place for me. It didn't seem decent or just. Add to those responsibilities that which was, in some crazy, impossible way, another man's child. Didn't think I'd make you understand.
Mike, I do understand. I tell you, you can be mighty proud of her. She was free out there. She risked her neck to come back and help me.
Well, she always was a foolish, headstrong shot. Oh, Lord, Matt. We may never see her again.
Don't say that, Mike. Get her back. I promise you.
At sunrise, Dylan and Mike gallop across the high desert at the foot of the mountains.
It's gonna take you to get to this Madeira place.
Not long. We should be there by 10.
At the U.S. Cavalry headquarters for the Arizona Territory in Madeira, crowds of Indians are being unloaded from large wagons.
Come on.
Up on a building's second floor, an officer comes out onto the balcony.
Lieutenant Davis.
Sir.
What are these Indians doing back in town?
Well, sir, there wasn't enough room for them all on the train.
What do you mean there wasn't enough room?
Well, sir, some of these people are old and sick. Some of the younger ones have babies in their arms. There just wasn't any more room for them on the boxcars.
You should have made room, Lieutenant. Now get them off the street and out of my sight.
Yes, sir.
Move it.
The lieutenant salutes and walks away. Before the officer can go back inside, Chalk Brighton rides up.
Hey, what the hell's going on down here?
That's none of your business, Mr. Brighton.
The hell of it. These are reservation Indians. They're friendly, General.
Not anymore. From this day forward until Geronimo surrenders, all Mimbres and Chiricahua Apache will be considered the enemy and those captured prisoners of war.
General, that's treachery.
No, Mr. Brighton, it's war. And since the bulk of the Indians are now in our hands, there'll be no further need for your services. Draw your pay, Mr. Brighton. You're no longer working for the Army.
As Brighton watches in dismay, the lieutenant walks past.
Davis.
Hey, Chalk.
How'd he get him to come in?
Well, first he promised him extra rations, and then when they got here, we surrounded him and disarmed him. It was a very daring military engagement. You really all get medals.
Where are they being sent to?
About as far away as the good general can send them.
Where's that?
Florida.
Florida? Well, they can't live in Florida. It'll break them.
He wants to break them, Chalk.
Lieutenant Davis walks away as Brighton glares after the general.
Damn his hides. Damn all our hides. There ain't none of them worth spit.
In the mountains.
Mike, we keep this up, we're gonna kill the horse.
It's all right. We're almost there.
In Madera, Dylan and Mike walk their horses down the main street.
Where's headquarters?
Down the street, two-story building.
Let's see if you can find Chalk. We might need him as an interpreter for the Indians. I'll talk to the general.
They split up. Dylan rides to cavalry headquarters and dismounts.
Where's the general's office?
Upstairs, at the end of the balcony.
He enters the building and knocks on an office door. It's opened by a uniformed trooper.
I gotta see the general.
The general's busy. Come back later.
I gotta see him now. This is urgent.
Dylan blocks the door with his hand.
I'd hate to put a civilian in irons, but that's where you're gonna be if you don't take your hand off this door.
How long is he gonna be?
We'll let you know when he's free.
He shuts the door in Dylan's face. Meanwhile, Mike walks into the saloon and finds Brighton at a table.
Mike!
He jumps up in astonishment.
What are you doing here?
I came here with Matt Dillon. I hear you two have met.
Well, we've howdied, but we ain't shook. When I run into him, he said he was going to see you. Why?
It's a long story, and now's not the time.
The hell it ain't. What are you doing here with him?
Apache hit the ranch. They killed everybody, and they took Beth.
Oh, my God, darling. Oh, Mike, I'm so sorry. When did it happen?
Yesterday. They would have killed me, too, if Tomas and two of the Wranglers hadn't locked me in the hideout.
Well, what about Beth?
She was at the Walker Ranch. They caught her on the way home. It's all right, Chalk. Matt's got a plan.
What kind of plan?
He says the Army has two of the Apache boys. They're related to Geronimo.
He's thinking of getting the Army to trade them boys for Beth.
Well, it will work, won't it, Chalk?
Where's Dylan?
He's in the general's office. He asked me to get you to help talk to the Apaches.
Let's get on over there. Come on,
Dylan. They leave the saloon. At cavalry headquarters, Dylan bursts into the general's office without knocking.
I'm sick and tired of waiting out there, General. We gotta talk.
Who is this man, Harris?
My name's Dylan, Matt Dillon. The Apaches have abducted my daughter. I need your help.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that, Mr. Dillon. But I've got a few more important things to deal with than the plight of some unfortunate young female.
General.
Look. I can do no more for you than I can for the relatives of other young women who've been foolish enough to get themselves abducted out here in the last couple of years. I have no way of helping you any more than I have of helping them. Now, if you'll excuse me.
The general sits behind his desk.
You do have a way of helping, General. That's why I came here.
Oh, really?
You have two Apache boys locked up in your guardhouse. Now, they're both kin to Geronimo. I've got a feeling the old chief might trade them for my daughter.
I'm sorry about your daughter, Mr. Dillon. But tomorrow morning, I'm going to hang those bloody young savages until they're dead as a lesson to Geronimo. Now, get him out of here, Harris.
Before the trooper can move, Dillon punches him and slams the general up against the wall.
Guard!
There's ever been a less competent officer in the United States Army than you, Miles. I don't know who it is. You've had your men out in the field for months. All you got at the moment are two Apache boys. Now, you're going to take their lives plus the life of my daughter just so you can get off a wire about your military brilliance?
Guard! Guard!
Let me tell you something, Miles. If you have some of my daughter, I'll...
Three officers burst in, and one clubs Dillon with his pistol.
Lock him up!
The men drag Dillon into the lockup.
Hold him!
And lock him in one of the jail cells. He looks through the bars at Nachite and his brothers sitting in the opposite cell. Meanwhile, out in the hills, Beth is forced to walk behind the warrior's horse. The rope tying her hands is attached to his saddle. Stumbling, she falls to the ground. The warrior stops and dismounts to take a water jar from his saddle. He crouches in front of her and offers her the water jar. She drinks as he watches her impassively. She takes a second drink and he snatches the jar away.
I can't go any further.
He grabs her arm and drags her to her feet.
I'm not an Indian.
If you were an Indian, you would walk and you would not complain.
You speak English.
My mother was white, like you. She was a school teacher. My father took her from a wagon train and brought her to his camp, as I bring you to mine.
What? You think I'd ever stay with you? You're crazy. I'm not going another step with you. You're gonna have to kill me first.
She flinches when he pulls out his knife. He uses it to cut the rope that leads from her hands to his saddle. He returns to his horse and jumps into the saddle, riding off without a backward glance. She doesn't move as he disappears over a rise. Little else but rocks, dirt, and stunted vegetation surround her for miles in all directions. At cavalry headquarters, Mike enters the jail with Lieutenant Davis.
Mr. Dillon? Mr. Dillon, your wife's here to see you. It'll have to be a short visit, ma'am. I could get myself into real trouble.
I understand.
Davis leaves.
What happened?
Oh, I got into it with Miles. He's not going to lift a finger to help us. How'd you get in here?
I told the corporal the Apache abducted our daughter. He has a sister her age.
Mike looks at the Indian boys in the other cell.
They're just children.
Where's Chalk?
He's out back with the horses. He said he wanted to help. I figured we could use all we can get.
Be glad to have him.
They took my Colt, but I've got the Derringer.
Davis sits just out of earshot, doing paperwork.
Rather not use that unless we have to.
And how?
What about a fainting spell? Do you ever have one?
Never.
Well, that might be a good time to start. Just make sure you land close to the bars.
Davis rushes over, and as he kneels beside Mike...
Ma'am?
Dylan reaches through the bars and grabs him.
Ma'am?
Get the keys, Mike.
Nachite and his brother watch as Mike unlocks Dylan's cell door.
Okay.
Give me the gun.
Mike gives him the gun she's pointing at Davis, along with the keys.
Mike, could you get my gun belt for me? It's up in the office.
Mike goes out, and Dylan holds the gun on Davis.
What am I going to do with you?
I won't holler, sir, honest. I'm hoping you get your daughter back.
Right inside.
Dylan locks Davis in the cell, then unlocks the cell where the Indian boys are held.
All right, boys, come on out. Either of you speak English?
I speak.
We're gonna take you out of here.
Why do you help us? You're our enemy.
Your chief, Geronimo, has my daughter. I'm gonna hope to trade you two boys to get her back.
Mike returns with Dylan's gun belt.
Yes, we go.
Nachite and his brother head for the door. Dylan quickly shoves Mike in the empty cell.
The way things are with Geronimo, there's no guarantee either one of us will get back.
Matt, you can't do this to me. Matt, you can't leave me. Matt, please.
That night in the desert, the Indian warrior awakens when he hears footsteps. Feet stumble toward his campfire. Beth falls to her knees and holds her trembling hands to the fire's warmth. She spots a remnant of food in the ashes, pulls it out, and gnaws off a bite. She glances defiantly at the warrior, but he has closed his eyes again. The next day, Dylan, Brighton, and the two Apache boys ride through the low hills as an Indian gallops away from them.
From now on, we're in Geronimo's stomping grounds.
Yeah, except it wasn't Geronimo that took her. It was a different chief.
How do you know that?
For one thing, he was a younger man. Another thing, he didn't look full blood. He had reddish hair, paler eyes.
Wolf. Half-breed, all right. Got good reason to hate us, too. His daddy was killed in the 70s uprising. Army hanged him.
We gotta find some way to get word to Geronimo. I got an idea, and a chief day here could help us. I got an idea he could ride right into Geronimo's camp if he wanted to.
We will never lead you to him.
I'm not asking you to. I'm asking you to tell Geronimo what I want. You tell him we'll meet him in peace at a place of his choice. What'd he say?
Quieta comes too.
No, he stays with me. Geronimo got both of you back. He wouldn't have any reason to trade for my daughter.
Dylan and Brighton wait as Nachite explains to his brother Quieta.
I go.
We'll be in Fronteras. We'll wait for you there. How long?
3 days.
All right. 3 days.
I will meet you at Posada Real.
Bagago Dishka.
Quieta sits behind Dylan on his horse as Nachite rides off alone. Geronimo's camp in Mexico. Wolf, the warrior chief, rides in with Beth behind him on the horse. People gather around and watch as they dismount. Wolf hands his horse's reins to one of the boys and walks through the crowd, leaving Beth surrounded by curious faces. A beautiful Indian woman pushes through the crowd and regards Beth critically. As Wolf respectfully greets Geronimo, the Indian woman spits in Beth's face. Beth knocks her down with a roundhouse punch, and the woman pulls out a knife. The woman tries to stab Beth, and they grapple for the knife. Wolf realizes something is wrong. He pushes through the jeering crowd to break up the fight.
Who is it, Kaka? Now, Sensei! Enough! You come!
He grabs Beth and hauls her off toward a teepee. He shoves her inside and follows her. He offers her a cup, but she pushes it away and collapses onto some furs. Wolf leaves the teepee. Out in the hills.
Well, Beth's yours, huh?
That's right.
As proud fathers go, you were sure gone a long time.
Wouldn't have been if I'd known.
Well, Mike didn't tell me, but I figured it was something. You don't normally take to strangers, but she took to you like she trusted you.
Make a difference, Brighton?
No. No, I signed on this game for my own reasons.
Such as?
I was planning on marrying Mike Yarden one of these days. Still do. Figured I'd wear her down in time. And you come along. Child's daddy. Heading down to Mexico to hunt Geronimo single-handed. You were stealing my thunder, Dylan. I couldn't let you get away with that.
Wasn't what I had in mind, Brighton.
Yeah, I figured. Anyway, I'm still optimistic.
How's that?
Why, hell, this game ain't half over yet. Before it is, there's a dozen ways you could get yourself killed.
Maybe more than a dozen.
In Wolf's teepee, Beth wakes up when Wolf carries a bundle inside. He sets the bundle down beside her and leaves. Beth opens the bundle and takes out a buckskin dress decorated with fringes and beads. Out in the hills.
I don't mind telling you, Brighton, being in this canyon makes me feel like a doggie in a chute.
I get the same feeling every time I come through here, but it saves more than 40 miles.
When they ride out of the canyon, they're met by a group of scruffy white men who quickly surround them, guns drawn. The leader rides up to Dylan.
Bodine.
Colonel Bodine, if you please, Brighton. Colonel Aloysius Felton Bodine. Welcome to Mexico.
Bodine?
Yeah. General Wood cashiered him back in the 75 campaign for brutalizing prisoners.
What's he doing down here?
Scalp hunting. Gets $100 for every Apache scalp he brings in. Man, woman, or child, doesn't matter to Aloysius.
Not a whit, Brighton.
You see, Dylan, a colonel here attacked a party of my Apache scouts last winter. Killed five of them. Shot him in the back.
Well, an Apache's an Apache, right, Chalky? Who's your new friend?
Name's Dylan. Matt Dylan?
Well. You're a little out of your jurisdiction here, aren't you, Dylan? Badge don't carry no weight down here.
I'm not wearing a badge now, mister. Just tie my hands a little. They're free now. You're in my way.
I think you better learn to count, my friend. You don't take a step unless I say different. You gotta understand, Dylan. You left civilization back there on the other side of the border. Down here, I make the rules. Now, who's this?
Another scalp for my collection.
Touch him, you're dead.
You better listen to him, Bodine.
His scalp is money in my pocket.
Bodine pulls a knife. Hey! The bullet hits his ear.
Don't move, or the next one will be in your eye.
Mike is hidden in the rocks.
Tell your men to drop their guns.
Drop them!
Now off their horses.
Get off!
Your gun. Ow! We're gonna ride out of here. One false move out of you, I'll blow your head off.
If you don't, I will.
Get moving.
Keep him covered, Mike. We'll meet you down canyon.
Dylan and Brighton ride through Bodine's men, taking Bodine with them. After meeting up with Mike, the group stops.
All right, Bodine, step down. You're walking back. You can pick your horse up front terrace.
Come on, boy. Looks like you just committed some horse flesh.
All right, get moving.
I want to look forward to seeing you again. All of you.
Oh, I wouldn't say that, Bodine. You ain't got but one ear left.
Bodine walks away, and Dylan's group rides on. At Geronimo's camp, Beth comes out of Wolf's tent wearing the buckskin dress. Wolf is sitting by the campfire and gets to his feet when Beth appears.
Is this what you want? You want to make an Apache woman out of me? Well, you can make me put on Apache clothes. And you can make me walk behind your horse like an Apache woman. And you can make me lie with you. But that doesn't make me Apache. That only makes me a slave.
When my men took you, you were not afraid. When I left you in the desert where many would have died, you were not defeated. Your spirit is strong. Your sons will walk with pride. You come with me now.
Where are you taking me?
Now.
He takes her by the hand and walks toward his horse. He mounts and pulls her up behind him. Later, they dismount and he leads her between piles of rock and boulders to the edge of a cliff. Mountains and a river valley stretch out for miles before them.
This is the place we will stay tonight.
Wolf lifts a necklace over his head.
This is where you will become my wife.
When he reaches out to put the necklace on her, she steps back and he lowers it.
Why are you afraid of me?
Shouldn't I be?
I will not hurt you.
You took me away from my family. You murdered my people and you burned their homes. Don't you think that's hurting me?
That is war.
Who started that war? There was peace until you and your chiefs left the reservation.
The reservation. Look out there to the north.
He points down the river.
As far as beyond the great river you call the Colorado. And there to the east, as far as the land of the Comanche, the place you call Texas, all of that was ruled by the Apache from beyond memory. It was not until your people came to number 10 times mine, until the soldiers came building forts and your leaders turned tribe against tribe, that the killing began. Have you been to the reservation? The reservation is desert and barren. Barren of green grass and sweet water. The reservation is the men gambling their days away in the dust. The reservation is the women gathering hay for the white soldiers' horses. It's it's my people lining up for their weekly gift of government flour and beef. My people have become beggars in their own land. I will die before I go back to the reservation. And until I die, I will live the life of an Apache warrior. I will ride these mountains and I will kill my enemies. And I will have the woman I choose.
He puts the necklace around her neck. Elsewhere, Dylan's group has made camp.
My Carlin, I'm in the mood to serenade the stars. What's your pleasure?
Whatever you like, Chuck.
Brighton takes out a harmonica. The sound makes Kieta flinch.
What have we got here? Brand new patron of the arts, huh? See that? Listen to this. You don't like that, huh? Well, that's the very best part of my whole repertory. See if you like this now. Let's see.
Dylan is busy over by the horses. Mike gets up to join him as Brighton observes over his harmonica.
Like Chalk's got that boy's interest, doesn't it?
That's because he's never grown up himself.
He's a pretty good man when the going gets rough. I can vouch for that.
But that doesn't mean he's grown up.
Well, I don't know. He's pretty serious. He's talking about wanting to marry you.
Would it bother you if he did?
You going to?
I've told him no a dozen times.
Ladies been known to change their mind about such things.
Well, I had it in the back of my mind when Beth got married and went away from home.
Hard to think of having a daughter at all, much less one of marrying age. Makes me realize how much I've missed.
And what she's missed not having you.
You've done a great job with her, Mike. She have a young man?
Oh. Just about every boy for 50 miles around is in love with her. But no one special. She's the prettiest girl in the territory.
I'm not surprised.
Brighton lowers the harmonica as he watches Mike and Dylan. Kieta taps his hand, encouraging him to keep playing.
Well, why not?
The next day, Wolf gallops into Geronimo's camp with Beth behind him.
Geronimo, what's the deal? Hot day.
When they dismount, an Apache points Wolf toward Geronimo, who waits with Nachite and armed warriors.
You wish to see me?
Nachite brings news. He and his brother were captured by the white soldiers, taken to the prison. But a white man broke them out and brought them to Mexico.
Why would a white man help two Apache boys?
Because he wants the white woman you have taken. He will give me Kieta in return for her.
She is mine.
If he takes Kieta back to the army, the boy will die. He is my blood.
I will kill this white man and get Kieta back.
Kill him if you wish. But not while he comes to Geronimo in peace to trade for Kieta's life. Blue coats will hang Kieta by the neck until he's dead. But it's not a way for an Apache to die. hear me, Mandak. You will deal with this white man.
Wolf hesitates, then turns to Nachite.
Go. Tell this white man I will meet him here when the sun is high tomorrow.
Nachite runs off. In the state of Sonora, Mexico, Dylan's group rides into the town of Fronteras. They dismount and tie up their horses.
You gentlemen will excuse me.
Where's she going?
If I know Mike, she's trying to find out if this town has anything resembling a bathtub.
What about the boy? Do you think we need to lock him up?
Yeah, I asked him about that. He said the grandson of Great Chief Geronimo will not escape. That his word is an Apache warrior.
I'll accept that.
Behind a wooden screen, Mike steps out of a tub of steaming water.
You remember the time I took you to Tucson on the train and we set ourselves up at the palace. That supper brought right up to the room.
Mm-hmm. Brighton leans in the doorway, his back to Mike as she dresses.
I remember you ordered raspberry wine. I never even knew they made a drink like that.
Delicious.
Should have been. $2 a bottle.
I remember you got into a shooting scrape with one of the Earp boys before we even left the lobby.
Yeah. It was Virgil. I believe it was Virgil. Never would have happened if he hadn't been looking at you that way.
Can't shoot a man for looking at a woman.
I can. Would have shot him, too, if you hadn't stepped in the way. Why didn't you tell me Matt Dillon was Beth's daddy?
He told you?
It sort of come out in the course of conversation. I guess it's none of my business, but how in hell do you ever end up in Matt Dillon's arms?
She comes up from behind the screen dressed in a shirt and pants.
I found him in the desert.
He's hurt so bad he couldn't even remember his name. It was weeks before he was well enough to tell me where he belonged. We were together just once. And he rode out of my life and back into his own.
He rode away from you. When God makes fools, he sure makes them on a grand scale.
He drinks from an almost empty bottle.
I think that's just about the nicest compliment I've ever had.
It'll take some getting used to. I always figured Johnny Yardner was Beth's daddy.
Does it make a difference?
Reckon it will down the line. Seems to me you're going to have some hard decisions to make.
Chalk, I'm very fond of you. Always have been. But right now I can't think of anything but Beth.
Raspberry wine.
He drains the bottle, upends it in a potted plant, and walks unsteadily away as Mike watches sadly. People walk the nighttime streets of Fronteras. Musicians play in a crowded cantina. Brighton walks up to the bar.
Hombre, tequila.
Si.
Hey, when does the party start around here?
The party is now.
Brighton uncorks the tequila bottle with his teeth and pours a shot.
Hey, una más.
He gestures for a second glass for the pretty girl who's standing next to him and pours her a drink.
Oh, hey, look at that.
He points to a rat eating off the floor.
This could be your lucky day. What you got here is a major rat problem, and I'm the man to solve it for you.
Yeah, no comprende, eh?
No comprende. Okay, let me illustrate.
He pulls his gun and shoots the rat.
Now, what I propose is that I spend the entire evening very vigilantly watching here, and every time one of those little devils shows fur, pow! Now, I figure, maybe one free drink per rat. That strike you as fair?
No, senor, no, it's good to shoot inside. But to kill the rats, we use this. Veneno.
The bartender gets a small jar from under the bar.
Strychnine.
Si. It killed many rats, muy muerto. So, poison? Si. Pero pistola? No.
Well, there's always somebody right there to take the joy out of everything.
Brighton puts his arm around the girl beside him, and they drink. Bodine and his gang walk in. Bodine pauses when he discovers Brighton at the bar, then walks toward him.
Well, well. My old friend, Brighton.
Well, buenas noches, Colonel. Come on over here. Let me buy you a drink.
Under Bodine's hat, a bandage covers his missing ear.
First of all, though, let's settle that matter of my horse.
Oh, forget about that horse, Colonel. You're well rid of that horse. You know what you ought to do? You ought to get yourself a mule.
A mule?
Yeah. There's only one thing you got to be careful of. You got to pick you one that ain't smarter than you are.
The bartender listens, and Bodine's men shake their heads ruefully.
You're always joking, ain't you, Chuck? You're gonna die joking. Maybe tonight.
Talk is cheap, Colonel. Especially when you get all your men standing behind you. But how are you on guts?
Bodine straightens and glares at Brighton.
Gun or knife? You pick. If you have the guts.
Well, if it's my pick, neither one.
That's what I thought.
If we're talking about guts, we don't even have to get out of here. We can settle this right here. Hombre. Mezcal, sis.
Brighton reaches behind the bar and pulls out the bottle of rat poison.
What's that?
Strychnine. Poison, Bodine. Sure death.
The bartender sets out six shots of mezcal.
Terrible way to die. Rips the guts right out of you.
Kieta peeks through the door as Brighton puts strychnine in one shot of mezcal.
What are you doing?
Now, hombre. Revolvo the vasos. Hey, everybody, come on up here. We're going to have a little party.
Bodine watches the bartender shuffle the drinks. Reluctantly, Bodine turns away.
Hombre.
Listo.
The bartender steps back. Brighton and Bodine turn to the line of glasses on the bar.
You're crazy.
After you, Colonel.
No. No, Chuck. You first.
Whatever you say.
Brighton considers the row of glasses and chooses one. He toasts Bodine with it, closes his eyes, and tosses the mezcal back in one gulp.
There's five left, Colonel. I should have pointed out the first man to drink had a numerical advantage. course, we can stop right now if you ain't got the stomach for it.
Everyone watches closely as Bodine picks up a glass and drinks. Nothing happens, and he grins triumphantly at Brighton.
Now there's four.
I can count.
Brighton reaches for one glass, then changes his mind and picks up another. Kieta disappears from the doorway as Brighton drinks. Bodine is furious when Brighton survives his second drink. Bodine considers the remaining glasses nervously before picking one up and sniffing it. He throws his head back and drinks. After a moment, he chuckles and relaxes.
I sure did hope it wouldn't come to this.
Brighton reaches for one of the two remaining glasses, but hesitates. With a slow, deliberate movement, he sets the glass in front of Bodine. He takes the other glass for himself and raises it, just as Matt Dillon comes into the bar.
What's going on here, Brighton?
Colonel and me is just whiling away the evening.
Drink up, Chalk.
Brighton gulps down the mezcal. Brighton smacks his lips and smiles. His cough turns into a choking fit. Brighton collapses onto a table.
It's his game, Dillon.
Better hold it.
Dillon goes to Brighton and checks his pulse.
All right, get up, Brighton.
Damn it, Dillon, I had him.
Maybe you still do. When'd you have all the facts, Bodine?
He pours the mezcal on the floor and stomps out. His men follow.
You owe me one, Dillon.
Have any idea what would have happened to us in here if he'd have dropped dead? And you'd have gotten up off that table.
Oh, hell, you're probably right. I never was much good at thinking ahead.
The bartender hands Brighton his hat, and he and Dillon leave. Later, Nachite walks through a dark hall and knocks on Dillon's door.
Says you come.
Wait here.
Three riders gallop down the quiet nighttime main street.
That's Dillon.
They're recognized by one of Bodine's men.
Bodine's got to know.
In daylight, Dylan's group rides between a rocky cliff and the still river.
You wait.
Nachite rides off, leaving Kieta with Dylan and Brighton.
3 years ago, last May, about 35 miles southwest of here, me and Crawford and about 100 men surrounded Benito's camp. The Apache had never been attacked down here in his home turf before. Kind of spooked him. They all come in, even Geronimo.
Wonder what got him started this time.
The usual thing. Government wants them to squat down there in San Carlos. Turn them into law-abiding, civilized farmers. But your Apache brave just dearly loves to be let alone. To hunt and ride where and when he wants to. Well, you know something's got to give.
Question is, where do you stand on all this, Brighton?
Well, I'll tell you, Dylan. I shot at him. Been shot at for going on to 15 years now. Some of them ain't much good. But some I count among my dearest friends. Just makes a man sad sometimes. Why?
There's one thing you ought to know before we get into this.
What's that?
That Apache brave, that wolf. If he's harmed my daughter, I aim to kill him.
I figured that. If it comes to that, I ain't gonna have much choice, am I?
An Apache signals from the top of a nearby hill, and Nachite waves to Dylan.
You come now.
Dylan and Brighton follow Nachite into Geronimo's camp. They are quickly surrounded by Apaches. Wolf stands with Geronimo.
Chief, here's the boy.
Dylan helps Kieta to dismount.
Where's my daughter?
Geronimo gestures to Wolf. Wolf brings Beth out of his teepee. She still wears the buckskin dress.
You told me that your father was dead. That he died before you were born.
That's true.
Then this man lies. He says he is your father.
Beth frowns at Dylan in confusion.
Chalk, I don't understand.
It's the truth, girl. He's your father.
He also lies. Do we take the word of a man who is paid by the Bluecoats to hunt us down like animals? Without truth, there is no trade to honor. I will keep this woman.
It is hard to see the truth.
But you have brought home the young warriors. And yours is the right to fight Mandak to death for the woman.
Now, hold on. Hold on a minute, Chief. You may not believe me and in him when it comes to the girl, but there's one truth you better listen to. The new soldier chief, General Miles, has sent your people away.
Away? Where to?
Put them on a train. Send them to Florida. Many days' travel, even by the white man's train.
How do I know this is true?
It's true, Chief. Many of your people have already been taken. You're badly outnumbered by the Bluecoats. Let there be peace between you and I. I'll take my daughter back, and I'll tell the general of your deeds.
We have heard such words before. They mean nothing.
I must send to San Carlos. We must know if what Brighton says is true.
I will never give up, no matter what the army chief has done.
Lala! Nitihika!
Wolf draws his knife just as another Apache rides into the camp, followed by the sound of gunfire. The warriors run for their horses.
What's going on?
Scalp hunters. Bodine probably must have followed us up here.
Bodine's men ride into the camp, guns blazing.
Stay. If you run, I will find you.
Wolf turns to Dylan.
If you come between us, I'll kill you.
Wolf grabs his rifle and runs to join the fight. Brighton gestures to Beth, and she runs to jump up behind him. Bodine catches sight of them.
No, not that way. It's a trap. Go this way.
Beth points them in the right direction, and they ride out of the camp. Bodine watches them go, then gallops off in another direction. An Apache woman is being attacked by one of the scalp hunters, and Wolf leaps to her rescue. Wolf cuts the man's throat as the fight rages around them. Litter the ground. The Apache finally drive off the scalp hunters. Meanwhile, Dylan, Brighton, and Beth ride into a canyon. On a cliff above, Bodine aims his rifle. The shot hits Brighton, and Dylan returns fire. Bodine turns to take cover.
He's been hit!
Can you ride?
I can ride!
Take her out of here.
They ride off just as Bodine gallops up. Wolf shoots at Bodine from the cliff above, and Bodine thrown when his horse goes down. He gets up and shoots Wolf. His gun empty, Bodine turns to find Dylan bearing down on him. Bodine pulls his knife. Dylan rides to a stop and draws his own knife. They swing at each other until Dylan grabs Bodine from behind. Dylan forces Bodine's knife toward his chest. Elsewhere, Brighton lies on the ground as Beth bandages his arm. She pulls Wolf's necklace over her head and uses it to secure the bandage.
It's all right, Chalk. It's all right.
Dylan rides up. He checks the bullet hole in Brighton's side.
Get some water, girl.
Bodine.
Dylan hands him Bodine's knife.
Yeah, that helps. It does for a fact.
Pretty soon, somebody's gonna be coming down that hill.
Cutthroats or Apaches, one or the other. Either way, you can't stay, and I can't go. That's the hard truth, and you know it, Dylan.
Beth returns with a canteen. Brighton takes a drink of water.
Get mounted, girl.
Beth clutches Brighton's hand and fights tears.
Do it like he says, honey. It's your daddy talking.
She slowly releases his hand and walks away.
Take care of Mike.
Dylan nods. Beth stands by her horse and cries.
Now get the hell out of here.
After they've gone, Wolf rides up. He dismounts and walks slowly toward where Brighton lies on the ground.
I guess I'm lucky. Apaches don't take scalps.
Brighton dies. Wolf notices that the necklace he gave Beth is wrapped around Brighton's arm. He kneels and takes the necklace, clutching it in his fist. Later, Dylan and Beth ride down the street in Fronteras. They pull up in front of a stucco house, and Mike runs out. The women hug each other as Dylan waits.
Oh, it's all right, honey. You're safe now.
Dylan shakes his head.
You both need your rest.
There's no time for that.
Why?
It's Wolf. If he's still alive, he's going to be after us. Put some things together, we'll head back to Madeira. By the way, your daughter showed some real sand there.
Well, what'd you expect? She's a Yadna, isn't she?
She's also a Dylan. Or so I've been told.
You've been told correctly. Now, come along.
They go in, leaving Dylan by the gate, smiling. Meanwhile, at the Skeleton Canyon surrender site, General Miles emerges from a tent in full dress uniform. A small group of cavalry watch over about 30 Indians. The general stands in front of a small table with documents on it. Geronimo, in ceremonial cape and hat, steps forward from the group of Indians. The general salutes, but Geronimo stares impassively. The general picks up a pen and offers it to Geronimo. He takes it and makes a sweeping X on one of the documents, then tosses the pen down. The general offers his hand, and Geronimo shakes it firmly. A photographer and two reporters record the event. Wolf is on a clifftop above. He hurls a spear into the ground near the ceremony, bringing a faint smile to Geronimo's face. Wolf turns and runs off. Lieutenant Davis shifts uncomfortably. At the Yardner Ranch, a wagon arrives as Dylan is mending the corral fence. Mike and Beth, elegant in dresses and hats, get out of the wagon. Mike shows Dylan a basket of food.
General Miles put out the news on the telegraph. He accepted the surrender at Skeleton Canyon 2 days ago. I got all the fixings for a celebration.
Beth and Dylan stand by the wagon as Mike hurries into the house.
I want to thank you for coming after me. It was very brave.
You were the brave one.
Me? I was scared to death. He never really hurt me, though. I think everything he did was his way of testing me. And in the end, he showed me respect.
I understand.
I don't know how to say this. His men killed Tomas and the others. They tried to burn down this house. And they probably would have killed Mother, too, if they could have found her. I should hate him with everything that's in me, but I can't. What's wrong with me?
There's nothing wrong with you, girl. There's a war going on out here. Terrible things happen to people in wars on both sides.
He told me he would die before he went back to the reservation. That he would live the life of an Apache warrior. And that he would kill his enemies to the end. This is the end for him.
Pretty close to it, I'd say.
Thank you again for helping me.
Beth. I'm not too handy with words, but if the Lord asked me what kind of daughter I wanted, I'd sure know what to tell him. I'm real proud of you.
She hugs him tightly, and a smile breaks through her sadness. Mike watches them contentedly from the house. In a bar.
Lieutenant Davis?
That's me.
My name's Dylan. I understand you were a good friend of Chalk Brighton.
Friend, yeah. Chalk Brighton was the finest scout that this army ever put into the field. He raised me. He raised me just from a pup. He taught us all. You can just ask any shavetail, any sergeant, he'll tell you the same thing. Friend hardly says enough. Salute.
Lieutenant, I'm looking for information. Were you at Skeleton Canyon the other day when Geronimo surrendered?
Mr. Dillon, I happen to be the aide to General Nelson A. Miles. My presence is mandatory at all such occasions. My duties included bringing the pen and ink so that the old chief could make his mark.
There's a young Apache chief named Wolf. Was he at Skeleton Canyon?
Was he there? Well, he was a bit late for the ceremony, but he was there in enough time to throw a war lance that almost landed in General Miles' mess kit. And he hightailed it out of there. I think he headed up for the valley. Yeah, he was there all right.
Lieutenant, I thank you.
At the Yardner Ranch, Beth puts flowers on Tomas's grave. She straightens to find Wolf on his horse nearby.
Don't be afraid.
I'm not.
He dismounts, and they walk toward each other.
In another day, I would have taken you for my own. But my people and our ways have been swept away. In all the world now, there is no good place left for an Apache. So I have come back to give you this.
Wolf takes the necklace out of his pocket. He gently places it around her neck.
So you will remember.
He starts to back away and collapses to the ground. Beth falls to her knees beside him.
Get away from him!
Mike rushes forward with a rifle. Beth jumps up.
No, Mother, no! No, no! He wasn't going to hurt me. He only came to say goodbye.
Oh, my God. We'd better get him up to the house.
No!
Wolf struggles to his feet. Blood staining the front of his vest. With difficulty, he manages to mount his horse.
Where are you going?
Place I showed you. It is a good place.
He turns and rides away slowly as Beth and Mike stand and watch. Mike puts her arm around Beth's shoulders. Elsewhere, Dylan is searching for Wolf. He finds a drop of fresh blood on a boulder. With storm clouds gathering, he remounts his horse and rides on. Upon a ridge, silhouetted against the flashes of lightning, Dylan sees Wolf sitting still on his horse. Dylan pulls his rifle from its scabbard. Wolf rides slowly away from the edge of the ridge. The Apache rides carefully down the rocky hillside toward Dylan, who approaches along the bottom of the little valley. Slowly, Wolf lowers the barrel of his rifle until it's aimed at Dylan. Dylan rests the butt of his gun on his thigh, the barrel pointing upward. They ride slowly toward each other. Horses are almost nose to nose. They stop.
I did not harm your daughter.
She told me.
Wolf lifts the barrel of his gun. Riding closer, Wolf raises his blood-stained hand. Dylan reaches out and grips his hand, their joined fists raised against the stormy sky. Wolf turns his horse and rides away. Dylan looks down at his now bloodied hand, and the rain begins to wash it away. The surrender of Geronimo, the Apache chief, on September 4th, 1886, was on the condition that he and his warriors be reunited with their families in Florida. They were transported to Florida, but Geronimo and the males of his band, in direct violation of the terms of their surrender, were confined for many months in the dungeon at Old Fort Pickens in Pensacola. The Apache tribes were ultimately resettled in the Indian Territory, now western Oklahoma. Dylan watches through the rain as Wolf resumes his solitary vigil on top of the ridge. This program has been described by Audiovision, written by Earl W. Wallace, directed by Charles Correll, executive producer John Mantley. This film is dedicated to the memory of our beloved friends and artists, Miss Amanda Blake, Stan Huff, and writer emeritus, Mr. Ron Bishop. Co-starring Peter Murnick, Lieutenant Davis, Robert Covarrubias, bartender, Ned Bellamy, Captain Harris, David Florek, Smiley, Kevin Cifuentes, Nachite, featuring Robert Brian Wilson, Corporal, Blake Boyd, Fraley, James Milanesa, Sentry Soldier, post-production executive, Cosmos P. Bulger. Thanks to Department of Interior and National Park Service, Texas Parks and Wildlife Department, Big Bend Ranch, State Natural Area Alamo Village, Brackettville, Texas, Bill Moody's Rancho Rio Grande. Executive in charge of production, Norman S. Powell. Copyright 1990, all rights reserved. A production of CBS Entertainment Productions. In association with Galatia Productions Incorporated.